वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
गीता चैप्टर 16 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द डिवाइन एंड द डेमोनियक नेचर्स टेक्स्ट नंबर 1 श्री भगवान उवाच अभयम् सत्व संशुद्धेर् ज्ञान योग व्यवस्थितिः दानं दमश्च यज्ञश्च स्वाध्यायस्तप आर्जवम् अभयम् सत्व संशुद्धेर् फियरलेसनेस सत्व संशुद्धिः purification of one's existence, jnana in knowledge, yoga of linking up, vyavasthitihi the situation, danam charity, dama controlling the mind, cha and yajna performance of sacrifice, cha and Swadhyaya, study of Vedic literature, tapa, austerity, arjavam, simplicity. So translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, fearlessness, purification of one's existence, cultivation of spiritual knowledge, charity, self-control, performance of sacrifice, study of the Vedas, austerity, simplicity, non-violence, truthfulness, freedom from anger, renunciation, tranquility, aversion to fault-finding, compassion for all living entities, freedom from covetousness, gentleness, modesty, steady determination, vigor, forgiveness, fortitude, cleanliness, and freedom from envy and from the passion for honor. These transcendental qualities, O son of Bharata, belong to godly men endowed with divine nature. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the beginning of the 15th chapter, the banyan tree of this material world was explained. The extra roots coming out of it were compared to the activities of the living entities, some auspicious, some inauspicious. In the 9th chapter also, the devas are godly and the asuras, the ungodly or demons were explained. Now according to Vedic rites, activities in the mode of goodness are considered auspicious for progress on the path of liberation. And such activities are known as Daivi Prakriti, transcendental by nature. Those who are situated in the transcendental nature make progress on the path of liberation. For those who are acting in the modes of passion and ignorance, on the other hand, there is no possibility of liberation. Either they will have to remain in this material world as human beings, or they will descend among the species of animals or even lower life forms. In this 16th chapter, the Lord explains both the transcendental nature and its attendant qualities and the demonic nature and its qualities. He also explains the advantages and disadvantages of these qualities. So it's a very long purport. I'll stop here.
Om ajnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshuron militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. श्री चैतन्य मनोविष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप
ऑल द गेस्ट फॉर द इवनिंग भगवत गीता क्लास सो टुडे वी आर बिगिनिंग अ न्यू चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द डिवाइन एंड डेमोनिक नेचर्स सो इन दिस 16th चैप्टर ऑफ द भगवत गीता कृष्णा इज डिस्क्राइबिंग द कैरेक्टरिस्टिक्स ऑफ अ पर्सन who is having a divine nature and a person who is having a demoniac nature. So every person in this world has got some divine qualities, some demoniac qualities. We can't clearly say that every person is, somebody is like completely pure, somebody is like fully demoniac. So every person has these, both of these qualities. So Krishna is describing these qualities in this chapter. So in the first three verses, Krishna is actually first beginning to describe the divine qualities which a person has. So many of these divine qualities we may not have these qualities, or we may have these qualities only to a very small extent. But still, one can develop these qualities by the association he has. It is said that you become what you associate with. So we can develop these qualities based on one's choice and also based on the association he has. Like there was a painter called Michelangelo. So he was trying to paint the whole life story of Jesus Christ. So when he was trying to paint, he wanted a living model so that he can paint Jesus Christ and his mother, etc. So he wanted to paint Mother Mary. So then his own mother came and she had a divine look. So she came. So by seeing her face, so he painted the picture of Mother Mary. And then he wanted to paint the Jesus Christ who was when he was a small baby. So he wanted to see some baby and paint by following that picture. So he went to the market, he saw so many, then he found one baby, a small child. Then he brought that child and then painted the figure of Jesus Christ who was in the form of a child. So in this way he was painting. So after many years, after 15 years, because he was printing the whole life story, so it took many years. So after 15 years, he wanted to paint the character of a cruel person called Judas. So for that, he was looking for a person who is like cruel looking. So then he went outside. He saw one particular person in a bar, was like having a big beard, mustache. It's like really looking very cruel. So he brought him and then he started painting. So when that person came, he actually he was shocked. Because the same person actually posed for the Jesus Christ when he was a child 15 years back. So he saw that particular photo and he realized that actually I myself only posed for Jesus Christ 15 years back. But now I am posing for this cruel person. So this same person, because of the association he had, so he developed so many bad qualities that later on, like, he was chosen for posing for Judas. So similarly, when a person has a bad association, so even though one may have good qualities, because of the bad association, he'll start developing demoniac qualities. Of course, that bad association is chosen by that particular person. So we cannot blame, because I cannot be blamed for my qualities, that because I had that association, I have these qualities. One cannot say like that. Because we only choose that association. So depending on the choice and depending on the association one has, one develops a particular set of qualities. Like His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, he would always tell this famous example. He would say that within every person there are two dogs. There is a good dog and also a bad dog. So The good dog represents the good qualities and the bad dog represents the bad qualities which a person has. So since time immemorial we have been feeding the bad dog. So when a person comes in contact with the devotees, when a person starts practicing spirituality, so then he starts feeding the good dog. So when a person starts practicing spiritual life, sometimes people ask the question, like when I chant Hare Krishna now, so many more bad thoughts are coming. How is it that by taking the spirituality I'm supposed to, my mind is supposed to become more peaceful, but I'm getting more agitated? Sometimes on my question. So when a person starts practicing spirituality, he starts feeding the bad dog. But because we have fed the good dog, when a person starts practicing spirituality, he starts feeding the good dog. And because we had fed the bad dog for so many years, so that bad dog has become so fat that the moment we stop actually feeding the bad dog starts barking with a very loud voice. So then we think maybe the spiritual process is not working. And actually, the good dog, because we had not fed since so many years, so good dog was barking, but then because it was starving for so many years, we could not actually hear the voice of the good dog. So when we start practicing spirituality, we have to make sure that we starve the bad dog. That means we should not feed our bad desires. We should say no to the temptations and different different sinful propensities which we have. We should say no to that. And simultaneously we should start feeding the good dog. Means we should start practicing the spirituality. So these qualities, these divine qualities appear in a person who is born with auspicious impressions which manifest from pious actions in the past. And these qualities bear fruit at the time when the person takes birth. So one is that although a person may take birth, initially one may have bad qualities, by making a right choice and by choosing the right association, you can start developing the good qualities. But sometimes we see that certain people are by nature very cruel, and certain people are by nature like very sober, they are very pious, they have good qualities. Sometimes one may wonder, how is it that a person naturally has good qualities, sometimes a person has bad qualities? So Prabhupada actually addresses this point in the purport. So this basically depends on how a child is conceived. So the mental state of the man and woman at the time of conception, it has an effect on the child which is going to take birth. When the man and woman, they have a particular mental state, then depending on that, one attracts a particular soul in that womb. If they have a very good mental state, then they may attract a pious soul. If they do not have the proper mental state, then they attract a person having bad qualities. So that is why this particular point is addressed by Srila Prabhupada in his various books. Like in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a story of the demons Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. So these two particular personalities called Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, they were like some of the top terrorists of the Satya Yuga. Like the terrorists of Kali Yuga are like insignificant compared to Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Shri Gopal ji ki jai, Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. So Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha were something like millions of times greater than some of the terrorists of today's age. So when Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, when they were about to take birth from their mother called Diti, so that time various ill omens were seen. There were like earthquakes were happening, there were like severe storm, wind was blowing, cyclone, etc. It was like so many ill omens were happening that planet Earth. So there Srila Prabhupada says that all these ill omens were happening. In fact, by seeing those omens, even the demigods in heavenly planets, they become disturbed. And then they approach Lord Brahma and they ask a question, why is it that all these symptoms are seen? What is the cause? Then Lord Brahma narrates the whole history. And he says that, so now there are two great, powerful, demonic persons, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, they are going to take birth. So that is why these symptoms are seen. So there Srila Prabhupada says that Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha were just two demons. And because they were going to take birth, all these bad women are seen. But now, if we read the newspaper, or if we see the news items, every second day we see that some earthquake in this country took place, or some cyclone here, some flood, some natural disturbance, some country, some part of the world is happening. Throughout the year. And in certain countries it happens almost throughout the year. So in Satyayuga, these symptoms are seen very rarely. So that time, the demonic persons were taking birth very rarely. But in Kali Yuga, we see these symptoms very often. That means, the demonic persons are increasing. Almost all the time, demonic populations are taking birth in some part of the world. So how do we actually check the increase of the demoniac population? In fact, this point is addressed by Bhagavad Gita, by Arjuna in the very beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. So we can check the increase of the demoniac population by actually taking to the Vedic samskaras. Especially it is recommended that one should perform the Garbhadana samskara before a man and woman conceive the child. Because when they purify their consciousness and then when they conceive the child, then they will attract a pious soul in the room. And because in Kali Yuga, people actually fail to practice this Garbhadana samskara, we see that the population is practically demoniac. People take birth, so many people are atheists, they do not want to follow proper rules and regulations. So many people, they say that, how do we actually bring peace in this world? How do we get peace? So one may ask for peace, but when there are so many demonic population, when there is so much of demonic population, how can there be peace? So Srila Prabhupada says that if everyone in this world, if they actually follow this Garbhadana samskara, then there will be pious souls in this world and then there will be automatically peace. So one may wonder, what is the what is the logic behind Garbhadana samskara? So the logic behind Garbhadana samskara is very simple, in the sense that, like suppose you are preparing for an exam, you are going to write an exam. So if you are not studied throughout the year, and if you are going to appear for the exam, then obviously we can expect the result. So suppose if you are appearing for an exam like, say, CET or IIT, JEE, you are not studied throughout the year, and you are preparing for the writing exam, then you will definitely fail in the exam. But then, whereas a person who has studied thoroughly and who has got good marks throughout the year, and then when he writes the exam, we can definitely predict the result. Definitely we can expect that he will get a good result. Of course, in certain times, although a person may study hard, but certain and sometimes one may not get the result. But when a person studies hard, then when a person plans for the exam and prepares nicely, then we can expect he will get a good mark. So similarly, even in the case of conceiving a child, when they plan for the conception, when they develop a proper consciousness, then we can expect definitely that the child who will take birth will be a divine person. On the other hand, when people do not plan for the child, then definitely we can expect, because it is conceived like an accident out of the impulse, so then definitely the person, the soul which will be attracted to the womb will be a demoniac person. So that is why in the Vedic culture, this process of Garbhadana Samskar is recommended. In fact, what to speak of Garbhadana Samskara, but in the present age, people actually, people actually abort the child in the womb itself. Like, in the mode of goodness, when a person conceives the child, the couple, they invite the child, they prepare for the conception of the child. In the mode of passion, the consciousness of the people is, okay, child has taken birth, okay, it is our duty to take care. So they don't plan for conceiving the child. Then since the child has taken birth, they start taking care of the child. In the mode of ignorance, people think that such a big headache for such a small happiness, so let me just abort the child in the womb itself. So this is like different people having different modes, and like especially people justify abortion by saying that ultimately they say that life actually starts developing only after a few months. So if you abort the child in the womb, so there is no, you won't get any reaction for that. Ultimately life starts after 3 months or 4 months. Even medical scientists, they cleverly develop this theory. So there is no point in aborting the child, like the doctors say. But actually it is not so. Life actually starts at the time of conception. Again, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned, when Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, when they actually took birth from their mother Diti, it is described that Hiranyaksha was born first and Hiranyakashipu was born later. But then it is described that Hiranyakashipu is the elder brother, and Hiranyaksha is younger to Hiranyakashipu. So one may wonder, how is it that Hiranyakashipu is elder to Hiranyaksha when he was born later? So Srila Prabhupada explains that according to a scripture called Pinda Siddhi, when the male secretion enters the menstrual flux in the uterus in two successive drops, then twin children are conceived. So when the child actually takes birth, the child which is conceived first, that stays behind, so that is born later. And the child which was conceived next, that is later, that actually comes out of the womb first. So that is why, although Hiranyakashipu was born later, he was considered to be elder compared, and Hiranyaksha was considered younger. So this may seem to be a small detail, but the lesson we can learn is, this shows the point
that life starts at the time of conception. So that is why Hiranyakashipu is considered to be elder. So when people say for abortion is, there is nothing wrong in the abortion, because ultimately life starts after 3 or 4 months. So it is not justified. And we also see in another place it is explained about a great personality called Prithu Maharaj. It is explained that Prithu Maharaj begot 5 sons according to his own desire. Like it is interesting that one may, like at present we may not have this idea, how can a person beget a child according to one's own desire. Especially Prabhupada says, how one can beget children according to one's own desire is practically unknown in the present age, because people do not have the idea about garbhadana samskara, they do not have idea about preparing their consciousness for conceiving a child. So here we see that the reason why certain persons are born with divine qualities and certain persons are born with demonic qualities is because of the mental state of the man and woman at the time of conception. So when the man and woman prepare for the conception of the child by purifying their consciousness, then they attract a pious soul. They attract a saintly person in their womb. And then, but when they do not prepare for the conception, when they conceive the child only out of enjoyment propensity, then they attract a demoniac child. But although a person may take birth with divine qualities, or although a person may take birth with demoniac qualities, but still, if a person, by making the proper choice and by taking to the proper association, one can still develop divine qualities. So these divine qualities are described by Krishna in these 3 verses in the Bhagavad Gita. So let us first of all try to understand. There are many qualities here. I'll just talk about few qualities. So the first quality which is mentioned by Krishna is abhayam. Abhayam sattva samshuddhir. Abhayam means fearlessness. So these qualities are, some of these qualities are, have to be developed by certain persons, but in general these qualities are important for every living being, but some of these qualities are important for certain people in the certain modes. Like in the Vedic culture, there's this varnashram system. Varnashram system means the division, the society is divided based on the social order and the spiritual order. The social orders are Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. The intelligent class, the administrative class, the mercantile class and the laborer class. And the spiritual orders are Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyas. The student life, the householder life, the retired life and the renounced life. In fact, this, although in India, although in the present age, this system may not be present, one may say this in its full form, but still we can see that certain persons have certain qualities. For example, even in this society we see that certain persons have Brahminical qualities, in the sense that, like, they want to teach others. So, like, we see that certain persons take to the profession of professors. They want to go into the teaching profession. Some people, they want to be managers. Some people, they want to be like, I want to do business. Some people, they just want to do laborer job. So every person has certain qualities. But majority of the people in Kali Yuga, they are actually, most of us, we are born actually Shudras. Huh. But although we may be born with lower nature, but still we can actually develop good qualities by making the right choice. So the first quality which is mentioned is Abhayam, fearlessness. Although this quality is especially meant for the renounced person, but it is important for everyone. So how can a person in this world, we see that everyone is having some fear or other. Even the most powerful person or the richest person, even such a person is actually fearful of something or other. Like one big billionaire, one successful person was asked, "What is the secret of success?" This person said, "Actually, I am writing a book on that." Huh. So you can read that book for more details, like he said. Then the person asked, "Okay, at least tell me, what is the title of the book?" He said, "The title of the book is, Only the Paranoid Can Survive." So his conception of success is, only a person who is always fearful of how to get money, how to actually compete with the other person, only a person who is like having fearful all the time, only such a person can achieve success. So we see that even the most successful person, according to the material estimation, they are actually fearful. And certainly fear is not a positive emotion. When a person is fearful, like can't eat properly, like even if it's not eaten for many hours, even if the nice plate of food is there, he can't enjoy it. So fear is a negative emotion, and when a person is fearful of somebody, it naturally leads to hatred. Like one person was working in a company, so he joined the company, and after 6 months he told the boss that, "I am going to resign your job. So please give me a certificate saying that I have 10-year work experience." The boss was surprised. Said, "You just worked for 6 months. Why are you asking for 10-year experience?" He said that, "Because the 6 months I spent with you was such a traumatic experience that it was as if I was working for 10 years. So you have to give me certificate that I worked for 10 years. So this is how people are. Like when a person is fearful of somebody, he starts developing such hatred towards such a person. So but how can a person overcome this fear? So Prabhupada addresses the point by saying that when a person understands that the God in the form of super soul is present all the time, is there, situated in everyone's heart, and he is ready to give us protection, then what is the question of fear? So when we understand the fact that Krishna is situated as super soul in everyone's heart, then a person never becomes fearful. Because the Supreme Lord is very merciful. He is just ready to give protection to the living entity. So because a person is not conscious of this fact, then he actually becomes fearful, or people commit so many crimes. On 1st of January, I received an SMS. Like, this is one of the usual SMS which people receive on 1st of January. Many of you might have received. Like, one of my relatives sent, saying that, "Wish you a happy and prosperous new year." So usually people send such SMS. But then, how can a person actually become, actually achieve happiness and prosperity in his life. So this is actually described in a particular verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is described, Santam Samipe Ramanam Rati Pradam Vitta Pradam Nityam Imam Vihaya. It is described, the super soul, the supreme personality of Godhead, is situated in everyone's heart as a super soul. And he is the most near and most dear to every living entity. And this, when a person serves the super soul, when a person serves the supreme lord in the form of super soul, he actually awards happiness, ramanam rati pradam, he awards happiness, and vitta pradam, he awards prosperity to the living entity. So people may want happiness and prosperity, and they may wish others also should have happiness and prosperity in the beginning of the new year. But how many persons actually know what is the way to get happiness and prosperity? So the way to get happiness and prosperity is to serve the Supreme Lord, who is suggested as super soul in everyone's heart. And on the other hand, when a person does not serve the super soul, and when a person chooses to serve insignificant persons of this world, akama kam dukkha bayadi shokam moha pradam tucham aham bhajenge. So when we choose to serve insignificant persons of this world, in fact anybody other than the Supreme Lord is insignificant, when we choose to serve everyone, anybody else, then what a person gets? A person only gets illusion, fear, moha pradam, bayadi shokam, fear and lamentation, etc. So the solution for happiness and prosperity is one has to serve the super soul. And if a person chooses to serve anybody else, one will only get distress and fear, etc. In fact, if a person simply becomes conscious of the fact that God is there, somebody is watching us, that even materially it will be so helpful. So there is an interesting statistic one devotee was sharing. Like in the United States of America, the number of police stations is 1,50,000, and the number of police stations in India is just 50,000, but the population of India is 2.5 times greater than the population of United States. So the number of police stations is only 50,000, and the average crime rate of New York City alone is greater than the average of the whole India. So that means we can understand the point that because people are so atheistic, people think that there is nobody who is watching me, I can do anything I want. So when a person is not conscious of God, then naturally they start committing so many crimes. But on the other hand, when a person is conscious of the super soul, then automatically the crime rates also decrease. And in the case of the super soul is like the witness. Like in the case of, suppose some case is happening in the court. So judge is actually looking for witness. Different witnesses are called who witness particular crimes, etc. So they give their evidence. So in the case of a normal quarrel which happens in this world, one particular person as a witness, and the judge has the power to award punishment or not. So judge has the power, but he is not the witness of the crime. He actually hears the statements of the different witnesses, and then he, using his power, he gives the verdict. But in the case of the Supreme Lord, He is both the witness and also the judge. He is both the witness and he also has the power to punish. So when a person is conscious of this fact, naturally one will stop committing sinful activities because he knows that somebody is watching over me. So, but one may think, okay, when a person is thinks that somebody is just watching over me all the time, one may think it only leads to fear. How is it that when a person becomes fearless? So, a person becomes fearless because he understands that the Supreme Lord is not just the witness and the judge, but he is a very merciful person. Just like for a criminal, when he sees the police, he immediately becomes fearful. But a good citizen, when he sees the police, like he has no fear of by seeing the police. So similarly, when a devotee, when he knows that super soul is present in the heart, he knows the nature of the super soul. Krishna says, Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshyosti na priyaha ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya mayite teshu chapyaham. Krishna says that I am equal to everyone, I do not envy anyone, I do not hate anyone, but one who serves me with love and devotion, I give myself to such a person. So because a devotee of the Lord, he is conscious of the fact that the super soul is a very merciful personality, then he becomes completely fearless. So this is like the first quality which Krishna says. And some of the other qualities, like another quality which Krishna describes is Mardavam. Mardavam means gentleness. Like Srila Prabhupada said, my devotees are the perfect gentlemen. And in fact, few verses later, Krishna describes the demoniac qualities. One of the demoniac quality Krishna says is Parushyam, Krodha Parushyam Evacha. Parushyam means harshness. So, we see in the Bhagavad Gita, in the first chapter, when Arjuna declines to fight the battle, the first reason which Arjuna gives for not fighting the battle is that he was feeling compassion for his relatives. He was saying that how can I kill my own relatives? By seeing his relatives assembled in the battlefield, he was feeling compassion for the relatives. So usually sometimes when a person takes to spirituality, initially a person may become harsh to the relatives. But whereas here Arjuna, he actually exhibited compassion for his relatives. So in our case, we might have become harsh to our relatives, but we must know that actually we have not developed the good qualities. But when a person sticks to the process of devotional service, then automatically all these qualities will develop in a person. So that is why Krishna says, it said, Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavati Akinchana. When a person starts practicing devotional service, then automatically all the good qualities in all the good qualities of demigods develop in such a person. So that is the greatness of the process of devotional service. And so many other qualities are described. In fact, this process of devotional service is so great. Like it is described in the Nectar of Devotion. Just like suppose if we are going to watch a sports event. Suppose if we are going to see a football match or a cricket match, either in the stadium or in the TV. So you may get up at 3 o'clock to watch the match. You may sit in front of the television for 7 hours. But the person who is actually playing the match, he gets so much of money. Nowadays, like, a person hits, for every four a person, batsman hits, he is given so many dollars. Every 6 year he eats, he is given so many dollars. But have you ever heard of any benefit to the spectator who is watching the match? You may spend, a person may play the match, even if a person gets out in the first ball itself, still he will get so much of money just for appearing the match. But the person who is watching the match by buying the ticket, going to the stadium, or getting up in the morning and sitting in front of the television for 7 hours, he does not get any money in return. What he gets is only some for a small period of time. He forgets his miseries. He does not, in fact, he doesn't get, if his favorite team wins, he gets some excitement for a few moments. Otherwise, and he forgets his miseries. And if the team doesn't win, he becomes more distressed, and then after some time, his miseries, he experiences the miseries to a greater extent. So, in this world we see that the spectator of a match, he doesn't get any benefit. But on the other hand, when a person takes to devotional service, it is explained in the Nectar of Devotion, just like when a person comes to the temple, when he observes the aarti ceremony of the Lord, the person who is performing the aarti and the person who simply observes the aarti ceremony of the Lord, even he also gets so much of benefit. The person who observes the aarti ceremony of the Lord, he gets, in fact, the equal benefit as a person who is performing the aarti. So this is the greatness of devotional service. That even the spectator, he gets the same amount of benefit as the person who is actually performing that act. On the other hand, in the material platform, the person who is a spectator, who is watching the event, he actually doesn't get any benefit. He simply gets forgets his miseries for a temporary time. So, finally, I just want to speak a few minutes about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, as I said, that all these divine qualities, at present, although we may not have these qualities, but we can still develop these qualities when a person takes to the process of devotional service. Especially when a person chants the Hare Krishna mantra and when a person worships the Supreme Lord as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and by chanting the holy names, one can actually develop all these good qualities to an unlimited extent. So it is explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Vande svairadbuteham tam chaitanyam yat prasadata yavana sumanayante krishna nama prajalpaka. It is described, Krishna Gauraj Goswami says, that I offer my obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So by whose mercy one can, even a yavana, even a low class person who is born in a very low family, who is having all kinds of sinful habits, even he can become a very great brahmana, very great Vaishnava. How? Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when a person chants the Hare Krishna mantra and this Panchatattva mantra, one can actually get the supreme perfection. So that even if a person at present a person may not have any inclination to practice spirituality, but even if a person does not have the inclination to practice spirituality, we can actually, when we understand the qualities of great souls who have taken so much of trouble to give Krishna consciousness, that should make us inquisitive. Like Gaurang Prabhu, he was telling this story that when he had gone to Burma, there was one devotee who was telling that how he came to Krishna consciousness. So this person was a captain of a ship. Like he would go on a voyage. So when he had gone to one particular African country, so he wanted to take a break, and then he wanted to go around that particular city. So in that city, practically nothing was there, because the city was filled with jails. There was nothing to be seen. So then he saw that in the same dock there was an American ship. So he went to that American ship, he went to the library, and he wanted to browse through the books. So he came across one particular book. So in that book it was written, the biography of a person who went on a voyage in a cargo ship at the age of 70 years. So that book created interest in him, because he was also going on a voyage all the time. So then he started reading that book. So that book was the biography of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Lilamrit. So when he read that how this person at the age of 70, having 3 heart attacks, and he had seasickness, and he went to a place where he did not know anybody, and how he established Krishna consciousness just in a matter of 10 years, traveling 14 times all over the world, establishing 108 temples, starting with just with 40 rupees in hand, but later established temples worth so many crores of properties. Just by that fact, that created interest in him and started practicing Krishna consciousness. So similarly, when we read the character of these great souls, that how, although we may not have any inclination to practice spirituality now, at least when we see that somebody is taking so much of trouble to give Krishna consciousness to others, at least that should make us inquisitive to find out there must be something in that. Let me at least see what is there in that. At least that should make us inquisitive to find out about spirituality, and that should make us inquisitive to practice spirituality. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, also we are celebrating the 500th anniversary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's taking sannyas in this week. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas at the age of 24 years. So when he had a beautiful wife who was none other than the goddess of fortune, it is described that the goddess of fortune appeared, all the demigods, all the persons assembled there, all the demigods and demons, they were completely attracted by the beauty of goddess of fortune. So Sri Chaitanya Prabhu had a wife like goddess of fortune, and who was so chaste and submissive. And he had a mother who was so affectionate and caring, but he left his mother and wife at the age of 24, and he actually renounced everything only for the purpose of giving Krishna consciousness to everyone. So this is like, when we think deeply, why is it that a person should renounce? When a person has everything what we aspire for. So Sri Chaitanya Prabhu, because he was relishing the love of God, that he wanted to share that love of God with all the conditioned souls. So he did not, for that he actually renounced his own wife and his mother. So when we see that when a person is taking so much of trouble, undergoing so much of inconvenience in order to give something to others, at least that should make us inquisitive to find out what is there in that. There must be something in that. That is why he is taking so much of trouble to give that. He's taking. So that should make us inquisitive to take to spirituality. So in this way, simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and the Panchatattva Mantra, Panchatattva Mantra is Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vranda. And the Hare Krishna Mantra is Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare. So simply by chanting these two mantras, one can get the supreme perfection. And although a person may have taken birth in a bad family, or one may be having bad qualities or bad habits, still one can develop all these divine qualities which Krishna is describing in this chapter, in this first three verses. So I'll stop here. So if anybody has one particular question, ask. Any new produce other. Like one thing is, that like we can present how it is sinful, in the sense that you can say that how every action has an equal and opposite reaction, and when a person gives trouble to other living entities, definitely one will get some reaction. So although a person may have, although we can explain, like we attend the 6-day Gita course, how we can tell, how we see that so many people are undergoing so many problems, we can explain about the law of karma. But still, it's not that we just, sometimes if we simply tell about the, how it is sinful, still sometimes may not, people may not take to Krishna consciousness. So we also have to tell about the merits of the process. Certain people, like, they're actually, their life may be going very nicely. So we have to understand the nature of the person. So certain people, we have to tell about how there is misery in this world, which will shake that person. Certain people, we have to tell, who are already having so many miseries, we should tell something positive. How you, when you take the spirituality, it can give solution to your problems. So we have to actually understand the nature of the person. Just like Narada Muni, when he was preaching to Prachina Barishad. So this Prachina Barishad, this king was performing so many animal sacrifices, he was killing so many animals. So in order to shake Prachina Barishad, so Narada Muni, he used his mystic powers. He showed, by using his mystic powers, he gave him the vision that how all these animals are waiting to kill him after he dies. So there are, by that actually he got shaken up. So then he became a little more receptive. Like sometimes people are like, Some people may be innocently eating animals, but then they may not be aware of how much trouble they are giving trouble to the other animals. Like, videos or this thing which tell that how animals are being tortured. Because we don't usually use that, it's not because it's like horrible looking, but sometimes people have to be shaken up by telling these facts. Or certain other people, we have to tell about the positive aspects of Krishna consciousness. So we have to really understand the nature of the person. And main thing is, like, it is not that we just want to say the other person is bad, you are doing something wrong. So we have to become friendly to the other person. And by developing a nice friendship, then we have to slowly attract them to Krishna consciousness. And sometimes we'll have to tell that how what they are doing is wrong. But sometimes if we simply tell, you are doing something wrong, and then sometimes they may never take to Krishna consciousness. So we have to say, pray to Krishna, and we have to pray to the super soul so that he can inspire that person. And then at the same time, we have to present Krishna consciousness, we have to present the facts in such a way that he himself comes to the understanding that it is wrong. It's like, suppose somebody is ugly, instead of saying you are ugly, you show a mirror in front of him. So he automatically comes to know that he is ugly. So similarly, it is not that we want to tell, you are doing something wrong. So that may hurt the feelings of the other person. So we have to present in such a way that the other person's feelings do not get hurt. At the same time, he comes to the understanding, actually what I am doing is wrong. So let me do something. So we have to think, and then really think of the welfare of the person. We have to pray to the Lord. At the same time, we have to present the philosophy properly. So this is what I'm saying. So I'll stop here because it's time for Kirtan. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.